So Kunti is giving Krishna reasons why Krishna should not leave Hastinapura and go to Dwarka. Their enemies are still alive. At any moment, the enemies may come back and attack. How can they be safe without Krishna's protection? If Krishna leaves them, today we're going to hear what happens, how they will feel without Krishna. Their name is nothing. Their fame is useless. Everything will be useless without Krishna. Everything, like decorations on a dead body. Because Krishna is everything for them. So I gave you some homework yesterday. Your last day of homework was how to do your chanting today just to please Krishna. That was your homework yesterday. Do something today just so Krishna is happy, not for yourself, just to make Krishna happy. So, did anybody try that? And you have something to share with us? Did anybody try to chant like that or to do some seva or something extra? Or anybody here? You're all so shy. Anybody try to do something today? And even if you tried, that's okay. If you don't want to share, that's okay. But at least if you tried, that's good. So, what did I do today? Yes, I was trying to chant and remembering Krishna. Also, so many times we chant, but we think of other things besides Krishna. And we think, yes?
It's very difficult to really concentrate. It's you think about pleasing Krishna, but then your mind creates another world and you just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard just to think about Krishna. I mean, when you try it, actually, then you find out how hard it actually is. Yes. You're fixing the microphone. Okay. Anybody else? Here's somebody here. We have a microphone. Is it working? We will see. It's very difficult just to think, okay, this is for Krishna. Our whole life is spent, this is for me. Yeah.
Yesterday I chanted my rounds. But generally, usually, I feel that I chant my rounds just to complete my rounds. Okay, I have not completed.
Right.
But yesterday, I have completed my rounds. And I like to chant some more.
That, you want to chant more?
Let's see what happens. I chant more. And that few rounds, 5 or 6 rounds I chanted very sweetly. And I felt that I was, from innermost my heart, I was very happy. And I felt that these rounds actually were the rounds.
Were the real rounds. Okay, so you chanted extra rounds yesterday. You thought, well, let's see what happens if I chant more. Yes. It's quite an experiment. And those rounds were very sweet. Because it wasn't, okay, I have to finish now my 16 rounds. Finish, like Prabhupada said, put down the feedback. Finish. Now I can do whatever I like. I finish my 16 rounds. No. Yes, it's good that you think, oh, what is it like to chant more than 16 rounds? Not just for duty, but for Krishna's pleasure. Very good. So that was a good experiment you did. Yes? Okay, and then we will come over here. I think, Mamata, you had your hand up? Okay, you will be next. Hare Krishna.
But when I'm chanting, sometimes we feel a great sense of responsibility. Because I think not many people in this world are able to chant.
That's right, not many people are able to chant.
And sometimes when we think of the great spiritual masters, you know, where Prabhupada and all these disciples. You think that you're part of that movement, you're a small part of that world machine.
Yes.
A lot depends on you also, because...
Right.
And I think of all these great spiritual masters from Prabhupada to all of the devotees, I think that how lucky we are actually to be part of this.
That's nice. So you chanted with a sense of gratefulness.
And with a lot of gratitude.
And gratitude, yeah.
And I think it brings a lot of responsibility also.
Yes, it does. It also comes to us. Okay, Mamata. Here. Somehow it goes off after it changes hands.
The Like actually, like Draupadi today, I was going to starting my rounds, and I remember the homework, and I meditated like, okay, whatever I'm going to do today is for the pleasure of you, Krishna. Please accept it. And then I started my rounds. How I was feeling like after finishing my sham rounds, and I was feeling so peaceful, no any tension and no any anxiety. I was feeling so serene and clean. Then after like I was trying to do some seva for buying ingredients for eating. Every time I have to go to market for one more item, then I was feeling so feeling so difficult. And again I remember the same thing. Oh, today whatever I'm going to do, I'm doing for the for your pleasure, Krishna. Like it was really so blissful and so happy than before. Like it's like really some deeper test.
Yes.
And we feel more encouraged.
Yes.
And more like inspired. To chant more and serve more.
Yeah, very good. It's very nice. You think, oh, I don't want to go to market. No, no. This is what makes Krishna happy. I will go to market for Krishna. Very good. Very nice. And chant for Krishna, too. So today you had, it was very serene. You became very serene.
Yes, became very peaceful and we are like, mind is so clear. No any worries and no any anxieties. Like,
very good.
Okay, I'm doing for Krishna. Why did you worry?
Yeah, no worries. It's for Krishna.
Yeah.
He will give the result. Very good. Now you're now rest of the days you have to do that. Not just today. Now tomorrow, next day. So you want to be happy, right? So just keep on doing it like that. Because no more homework after today. Now you have to keep doing the same one. Until next year. Then I will give you a new one. Next year you will get a new homework. Yes. Over here.
Hare Krishna, today morning I tried to chant for the pleasure of Krishna. It was very difficult also. So many times mind goes here and then I have to chant like loudly and chanting.
Bring it back.
Yeah, and still some chanting. So, and after finishing 10 rounds, I woke up my son, elder son, and I said, just go and brush and wash at this and chant down. And first he was angry. Ah, why I should go and wash and chant and give? At any time I can chant, you see. And I did told him next time I did push him. So after that I was continuing to chant and he came by my side and he chanted.
Oh, very good.
And after that, finishing 12 rounds, and I wanted to go for morning work because I had like smoke problem, like to make like a nice health also. And I from today I like to go morning work. And since 12 rounds were already finished, and I went morning work with my son. First time he was not happy, but he went with me because I remember Prabhupada taking his son on cycle, and I also recall that incident. I said, oh son, don't worry. After some time, I'll buy a cycle, and you will be on cycle, and I'll be like, and you are very happy, and it was recreation. Otherwise, it was mechanical. I father his son, and no like matching, and no like fusion of son and father. Because bring like some relation, otherwise it's quite mechanical.
Right, very good. So you did, so I think Krishna was pleased with your rounds today. Very good. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay, and there's over here on the ladies' side. You got a microphone. Okay, good. It always turns itself off.
Hey, Krishna.
Yes.
Usually we actually remember and we used to get together only in the morning.
Yeah.
At 5:30. Since our exam is coming there, so we thought that it's going to be because we are finishing our chanting, we go switch. So we thought we do that and we realize that we stay home and we chant. So I thought today that I find that going up earlier. Then I remember that I have to do my homework. I have to please Krishna. So okay, I wake up earlier so that Krishna will be pleased. Then I woke up earlier. Then I thought, please, because the Supreme Vaishnava is number one in the Guru. Okay, we clean this temple, then we clean, and we thought, okay, we please Krishna, and I thought, okay, I will speak, because he has given us homework from last for a week, I think. But I haven't submitted that, and I said, I'll do my homework with Krishna.
Good. Thank you for that. You cleaned Lord Shiva's temple. Very good. He's the best Vaishnava. Because you did it for Krishna. That is the proper way to worship the demigods. You do it for the pleasure of Krishna. You see them in relation to Krishna. And that will be pleasing to Krishna. And if you have Brahma Samhita, you can see the prayers. There's a prayer for each and every demigod in relation to Krishna. How they are related to Krishna. Anybody else have something on today's homework? Yes? Do you want to speak? Okay, pass the microphone to the front here. The first verse, verse 38, as the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. So just imagine, 200 years from now, who is going to remember you? Who will know you? Your great-grandchildren, they won't know you. Who is this great-grandfather? Who is this great-grandmother? Who will know you 200 years from now? So the only thing you will take with you, the only thing that will be left is your name. Okay, great-grandfather so-and-so, great-grandmother so, in your family tree, that will be there. So, therefore, Prabhupada was thinking about his past family life. He said, all that is left is a list of names. So Kunti Devi knew this. She said, we Pandavas, we are the kings of the world. Our name is spread all over the world. But what is the value of our name without Krishna? If now Krishna is leaving us, so who cares if we're the emperor of the world? Better we're in the forest with nothing. And we have Krishna. So that's her whole prayer. She's trying to get Krishna to stay, and she's giving different reasons why. So she's saying, without you, Krishna, our kingdom, our body, our name, is just like decoration on a dead body. So Prabhupada explained the word consciousness means Krishna consciousness. Just like the word sunshine. Without the word sun, there is no meaning to shine. There must be sun. So without the word Krishna, there is no meaning to consciousness. We may have consciousness, but there are so many people, they are conscious, but they do not know where they are going after this life. Srila Prabhupada, in one purport, he said, it's like dead bodies flapping for a few days. It's like walking dead bodies, actually. They are breathing, but they have no idea of what is real life. Real life is life of the soul. So this is what Kunti, and Kunti, they understood that without Krishna, we have no life. Radharani, she is Krishna's best friend, best devotee, highest devotee. When she was born blind and deaf and dumb. Did you know that? Yes. Why was that? Because she didn't want to see anybody except Krishna first. That was the first one she wanted to see. She didn't want to see anybody else. So she was laying in her cradle, and they were having a ceremony, a big birthday ceremony, and they invited Nanda Maharaj. Krishna came. He was also a baby, and he was crawling. So he crawled up to Radharani's cradle. He looked inside. Radharani opened her eyes, first time. As soon as Krishna, she saw Krishna. So she knew that if I don't see Krishna, I don't want to see anything. She had that feeling. So it is said in Bhagavatam that those eyes that do not see the beautiful form of Krishna are like the eyes on a peacock feather. Peacock feathers have eyes. They look like eyes. But what are the use of those eyes? So this is the mood of Kunti Devi now. She's trying to tell Krishna, please don't leave. Please don't leave us. Verse 39, O Gadadhar, Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet. Therefore it appears beautiful, but when you leave, it will no longer be so. So Krishna was walking on their kingdom in Hastinapur. Now he's planning to go to Dwaraka, and she's saying, no, even our body without you is nothing, our kingdom without you is nothing. So this is an expansion, because we have our ego. First the ego is for the body, then the ego expands to the family, and some people's ego expands to the country, and some people's ego to the whole world. Now their ego was the whole world, because they were kings of the world. The whole world was their kingdom, the whole world their ego. So therefore, but they're saying, even though we have the whole world is our kingdom, it's empty. Without you it's empty. Without Krishna consciousness it's empty. So Srila Prabhupada said that we can bring Krishna into the center of our lives. He's always present. We just have to invite him. My Lord, please come and be in the center. So zero, Prabhupada said, this American civilization, there's so many zeros. The skyscrapers are zero. The beautiful highways are zero. All the airplanes are zero. And the cars, the highways, the expressways are zero. All the great universities are zero. Why are they zero? No Krishna consciousness. Very good. Very good. So how to make all these zeros valuable? You have to put the one in front. So suppose you have so many zeros. You can have 100 zeros and it all adds up to the same thing. But if you put the one in front, it becomes very valuable. So that one is Krishna. So our civilization is a bunch of zeros, because it's taking us back to this life of birth and death. It's just bringing us further down in the ocean of material existence. So if we put this one in front, then it becomes very valuable. So how to keep Krishna always present? Prabhupada tells a secret, chanting Hare Krishna. Especially kirtan. If you have kirtan, then Krishna will come. It's like you're calling Krishna, please come. When you chant your japa, you're calling Krishna, please come, please be with me. So Prabhupada said, but so Krishna appeared like he's leaving Kunti, he's leaving Hastinapur, but actually he wasn't leaving, just like he never left Vrindavan. Looks like he left Vrindavan, but he didn't leave. Because he was present much more intensely in separation. So this movement is teaching, Lord Chaitanya's teaching is teaching separation is more enjoyable than meeting. Separation from Krishna. So I would just like to ask you a question. Who can tell me why is separation better than meeting somebody? In this world we think, no, I should meet my children, I should meet my father, I should meet my family, this is more enjoyable. Of course, maybe for some of us, separation is more enjoyable, I don't know. Your family's in the Kali Yuga now. It might be more enjoyable to be separate. But, I mean, those who have very good ties with your family, who are, as this one person was expressing, that my mother loves me so much. So this kind of family, that there is a lot of love and affection. Why is separation more enjoyable than meeting? Of course, in the material world, I don't know if it is, but from the spiritual world, separation is more enjoyable. Now, why is that? Yes? You don't know the value of something until it's gone. That's right. You have, you're living with somebody all the time, all the time. Familiarity breeds contempt. When they go away, oh, my son has left my home. Yes, Mamata? And then back here, you had something too? Increases the love. Very good. Mamata?
Separation will remember intensely and will be in that consciousness.
Yes, at separation will remember intensely and will be in that consciousness all the time. Oh, yes. What is my son doing now? What is my friend, what is my husband doing now? There was, somebody told me, I don't remember who it was, in some one of my classes, that their mother was, the son went away to fight in the war. And they got the news back that, your son is dead. The mother said, no, he's not dead. Because she's meditating on him so intensely, she knows exactly where he is. And then after a few weeks, she got up and she said, he's coming today. He will come at 12 o'clock today. She went up and prepared the lunch. And then the front door opened and then the son came. Because the mother was meditating so intensely on that son that she knew. She knew he wasn't dead. But she felt his presence so much more that the gap was closed. And in spiritual life, there is no gap. When you think of Krishna, Krishna is there. And he's there much more intensely, actually, if you can actually think of him. That's the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Anything else? Why is separation more enjoyable than meeting? Yes?
With separation, there is a chance, there is a hope of meeting again. Oh.
Yes, well, it's like that in the spiritual world, too. And that's the problem with the devotees. When you're separated, there's hope of meeting. And when you're together, then you're afraid there's going to be separation. That's how the devotees are with Krishna. That's a very good observation. And that's how the devotees are. And that's why Krishna, he left Vrindavan, and he said, no, I don't want to go back, because if I go back, then they'll always think, oh, when is he going to leave? He's going to leave again. He's going to leave. And then they'll be more devastated the second time he leaves. And so he said, better I don't go back. But then eventually he did go back. And then he didn't leave. He didn't leave again. Yes. So yes, in separation, you're meeting. And this in spiritual life, this is the secret of chanting the holy name. When you chant the holy name, you're actually meeting Krishna. You're actually meeting him. Although you're separated. Not only are you meeting Krishna, wherever there's Krishna, all the devotees are there. You're meeting your guru, you're meeting all the devotees when you chant the holy name. Everybody's there. And so, although it appears that we're separated, the secret is how to meet the devotees although you're separated from them. And that's through the chanting of the holy name. Okay. Anything else on separation? Why is it more enjoyable? Yes?
When we separate, we are not individuals, and when we are not individuals, we become more strong and we become more dedicated to anything.
Okay, you become more strong and more dedicated. So actually, when you do meet again, then the meeting is so intense after separation. So that's another point, yes. It's very intense when you do meet again. And that's why, there's a saying, without separation, prema would die an untimely death. They say that. There's a river of prema, or love of God, and there's two banks. One is meeting, one is separation. So without these two banks, then there can't be the love. So we are teaching in this movement, and this is the teaching prayers of Queen Kunti also, that she is with Krishna right now, face to face, but she's so afraid of separation. And so that is her feeling. She's already feeling the separation, even though he's face to face, but she knows he's ready to leave, he's going to leave for Dwarka. So this is such a pain in her heart that very soon we won't be able to see you again. So she's already feeling the separation. So this is love. This love is being taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that, oh, yesterday I had a dream about Krishna and we enjoyed. No. The Goswamis were always thinking, where is Krishna? When will I see Krishna? And this searching for Krishna in Vrindavan makes them happier than actually seeing Krishna in Vrindavan. just as the search itself makes them so happy that this is so much pleasurable. And but actually, in the search, they're always seeing Krishna, because they're saying, is Krishna here? Then when you say Krishna, then you say, oh, with the flute, and he's, is he here? Is he here? Where is he? So in our daily lives, we should always be looking for Krishna. We should have that search. Search for Krishna and how to please Krishna, as I gave your homework yesterday. And today, a lot of you did that homework in very good faith, that you tried to do things that were pleasing. Some of you did extra things. You chanted extra rounds. And some of you did extra seva. And some of you just did your rounds more with more focus, trying to please Krishna. And all of your seva. And you realize that actually this is the real happiness, is when we try to please Krishna. And don't worry about what happens to us. So this is the purpose of our lives. Search for Krishna and try to please Him. And as I said, yesterday's homework, I won't give you any more homework today. This homework is for the whole next year. Until I come back again and I'll give you a new homework. Now you have to please Krishna for one whole year. So next verse, verse 40. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals. And the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. So we know there's a lot in Krishna's glance. And not only Krishna's glance, the incarnations of Krishna's glance have a lot of, there's a lot in them. So I did mention this, I think, in one of our classes. Who can tell me what is in the glance of Krishna or his incarnations? Anything. Yes?
Mercy.
Mercy, very good. Yes?
Compassion.
Yes?
Creation.
Very good, yes. Just by his glance, the whole creation comes. The whole world is created. Wish you could do that, huh? No. You cannot do that. That is only for Krishna. It would make life a lot easier. Well, no, it would complicate things a lot, I think, if everybody had that power. What would happen? So, no. Okay, what else? We have creation, mercy, compassion, love, protection. Yes. Protection of it, creation of your spiritual desires as well. That is, when you look at the deities, then if they glance at you, your spiritual desires will increase. You will get some new desires to do devotional service. So watch out when you look at the deities. And when you see their smile, that will protect your spiritual desires. You won't lose them. You won't lose your desires. Okay, anything else in the glance? Also maintenance. Not only at creation does he glance. If he stops glancing for a second, this whole universe will finish. He's still glancing. The Lord is, this is Canto 11. The Lord is continuously glancing at the universe. Without his glance, the universe cannot go on. He says in Gita, Maya Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sachadachara, that this whole universe, this whole creation is going on under my glance. Under my management. So then, maintenance, creation, and destruction. Who knows when Krishna gave a glance of destruction? There was a time in his life when he glanced and there was some destruction. Anybody can tell me the place. You don't have to tell me the people. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Bhishma Dev remembers the scene. He says, I remember you, and you. Arjuna said, drive my chariot between the armies. So as soon as he went between the two armies, Krishna looked at the opposite side. He shortened their life immediately. Everybody on the opposite side got their life shortened by the glance of Krishna. So glance of destruction is there. Maintenance and destruction. So here Kunti is glorifying the glance of Krishna, and she says, because of your glance, We've got trees full of fruits, rivers are flowing. Now, we don't have the glass of Krishna and the rivers are very polluted. I heard the water is, Rupachi Prabhu is telling me, the water is 500 times over the death limit or something. At least for Westerners. It's, I mean, normal is 220 and here it's 500 in Kathmandu Valley. Yes, yeah, so it's quite amazing that you're all still alive. I barely survived. The water.
Even the air.
Even the air, right. So don't breathe, don't drink. Then maybe you'll survive. But if you don't breathe and don't drink, how will you survive? So don't live, don't die, you know. What can you do? Don't live, don't die. Yes. It is only by the mercy of Krishna that we are still alive here. You should thank him every day. So, yes, he did not say, Kunti did not say, oh, the slaughterhouses are flourishing. The factories are going on nicely because of your glass. No. Prabhupada said, these are, what Prabhupada says, these things in the purport, these things are nonsense men have developed to create problems. So much for factories. If we depend on God's creation, there will be no scarcity. So India's wealth formerly was gold, even now, silver, jewels, pearls, silk. Even now, people still come to India and to get all these things. In the past, in the Middle Ages, India was famous for all these opulences. People were coming from China, from Europe, just to trade with India. And Nepal, I think, was part of India. I'm not sure. I think it was all like, no, maybe not. I'm not sure. Anyway, all this part here was full of silk. Even Nepal probably had the same thing, silk and gold and silver, pearls. And Columbus, he was looking for India when instead he found America, fortunately. And he called the people Indians because he thought, oh, here, I got India here. He was looking for the wealth of India. So unfortunately, time came when India thought, no, better we get the opulences of America. Technology. When I went to India in 1972, and there was a shortage of rice when I was in India in the 70s. And in Bombay, it was so bad that the devotees doing Food for Life in 1974, they got arrested because they were giving out too much rice. It was over the quota. And so they got arrested and put in jail for doing Food for Life because they had too much rice. And when I went to visit Bombay in 75, instead of rice, they were serving this Ekadashi chawal every day. We did had Ekadashi rice for prasad, no rice. And this was because India was exporting rice and grains to Russia in the 70s. And one of the devotees who was visiting Russia at that time, one of the sannyasis, he told Prabhupada, yes, there's no grains in Russia. And Prabhupada said, why don't they have grain? And the devotee said, because there's no rain. And Prabhupada said, why is there no rain? It's because they don't believe in God. There was no rain in Russia. There was lots of rain in India, but no rain in Russia. So the grains were going to Russia, and in exchange they were giving weapons and things, you know, that kind of thing to India. So when I was there was a cartoon in the newspaper. I think Indira Gandhi was the president, prime minister at that time. There was a cartoon and the people in India were begging, we have no rice, please, we're hungry. They were going to complain to Indira Gandhi. And she said, don't worry, after 1 week you will have TV. And that's what happened. No rice, but plenty of TV in the villages and everywhere. And propaganda, I was in the village in Goa for 5 years and I saw how when TV came to that village, then the social life finished. And before, the villagers used to visit each other at night, come together and have kirtan, do even talk, you know. Then once the TV came, they would just sit like this in front of the TV. And no talking, and they came and said, oh, on the TV we heard eggs are really good for you. They're good for your health. We should eat eggs. So that's how it all started. They put in the villages, the TV came. And the Western culture came and everything was finished. So this was the downfall of the Indian culture. And still, people think, yes, technology is really important. But one time I was on TV in Vrindavan, there was a Star TV, they came and read out to me, and they were interviewing me, and they couldn't understand, you know, you're from America, such a rich country, what are you doing here in this village of Vrindavan? And I said, well, you know, there's a treasure here in Vrindavan that you won't find in all the skyscrapers of the West. You won't find it in all the beautiful highways of the West. Something here you won't find, and that is Krishna. So there's, well, really, made them think, yes, particular. Microphone.
Arishna.
Just reminded me, thank you, it's very nice time already. But recently was discovered the diaries of Columbus.
Columbus?
Yes. Oh. And then actually he got instruction from his father that we have to go and find the Indian continent. There is 9 villages. There is 1 golden figure.
Gotcha. You know,
and he was looking at it, perhaps this is some kind of statue, figure, golden figure.
Yeah.
He made notes.
Interesting.
That he was going to discover golden statue. Among the 9 villages. And somehow he ended up in America. But later on, actually his father, he was a very saintly person. He was a kind of religious person.
Mm-hmm.
And in their meditation, they have got the vision that in India there are some 9 villages. There is a golden statue. He was looking for Lord Chaitanya, actually, indirectly. And he was looking and discovered America. He didn't know, perhaps he was supporting Srila Prabhupada and preparing for him to come and...
Yeah, right. Lord Chaitanya sent him there instead.
But it makes me laugh because you go and find 9 villages and there is golden, you know, Gauranga.
Yes, very good. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you weren't here on another class. Today is the day that Prabhupada arrived in America. In another class, somebody... from Russia was telling me that that all these missiles were in the submarines pointed towards America, and then the day Prabhupada set foot on America, they got the order to go back to Russia. They were about to attack, and then they got the order to go back. A couple of people told me that from Russia. So yes, today is the day Prabhupada set foot in America, and he wrote his famous poem. And he was praying to Krishna for empowerment, that he saw this civilization where people were so much in ignorance and passion. So how will they ever understand this message? So he prayed to Krishna, if you make my words powerful, they will understand. And he was praying not only for his own empowerment, he was praying for the American people that they will understand. He was praying for his audience as well as for himself to be empowered. So this was the godless civilization that Prabhupada went to. And he wrote about it even before he went there. Amazing. So he talked about this Western civilization that now they think that if you depend on nature, that is primitive civilization. He says, but now, previously people used to eat on metal plates, gold plates, silver plates. Now, advanced civilization, it's plastic plates. And paper plates. So this is, and ladies have plastic bangles instead of gold. Maybe still they have gold here, but not in the West. So this is the advancement of civilization. So we had experience with Prabhupada that he would just glance at us and we would think, oh, no more problems. Everything is all right. In fact, we had so many problems amongst the devotees, and as soon as Prabhupada would come, then he would just say to us, is everything all right? And we would look at him, and we couldn't find anything wrong. As soon as we look at his face, then everything was okay. We couldn't see, couldn't remember the problems. So in the Vedic Shastras, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, a pure devotee can give Krishna consciousness to others through his words, his good wishes, and by his glance. 3 ways he can give Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, by his words, his books, by his glance, and by his desire. He desired for the Western people to be Krishna conscious, so we became Krishna conscious. So this was Srila Prabhupada. And now in Alachua, I went to Alachua last month. And there's like over 1,000 devotees, about 1,000 devotees living there. If you go anywhere in that city, in the town of Alachua, you will see devotees in the post office, anywhere you go. And in the shop, in one of the shops, they have a section for Ekadashi foods. That this is for Ekadashi. You have to buy, if you want Ekadashi food, you can buy these foods. A separate special section. In the high school, the children, they go because there's no high school now. They have Gurukul, I think, up to 8th grade. Then they have to go to the local high school. And the children are with everyone, and they're on the football team, and you hear the people saying, Goranga, Goranga, go, go, Goranga, Govinda, go. They're shouting out the names of the kids, devotee kids on the teams. And I was just there at the football game, the first one at the college, and we were doing Harinam there at the University of Florida. And the people, one of them came up and said, oh, it's good you're here, you're giving your blessings. Because last year, they won every single game. Because the devotee, they said, because you're coming and doing Harinam here, we're winning all our games. I appreciate that. But actually, they have a big Food for Life there, and a lot of students take Vishadam. Hundreds, thousands of students take Vishadam there. Probably the whole football team takes Vishadam from the devotees there. So they appreciate that. So now the next verse. Kunti is feeling some problem in her heart because of her attachment to her family. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. So Vishnu Chakravarti comments, she's thinking, will I die uselessly, thinking only of their welfare? So this is a problem for those who are devotees, that we developing our love for Krishna, but sometimes other attachments are there too. But it's not that we should not have those attachments. Those attachments are good. We should be attached. We should have attachment for our family and children. But there is healthy attachment, and there is unhealthy attachment. So we have to know the difference between the two. Now, if you're a brahmachari, if you become attached to a lady, then that's unhealthy attachment. And I can give you one example that I just read today on the Facebook. It was a story of a brahmachari who died in 1973 in England. He was with Sri Bhuvanath Prabhu in the Harinam party. He got initiation from Srila Prabhupada. His name was Radhava Das. The day after his initiation, he died in a car accident. The driver fell asleep at the wheel and he died. But then he's born later, and he's born now. He's again alive as a lady, as a girl, Indian girl. And he remembered his past life, and he remembered everything. He fit the pieces together. And then he realized that at the time of death, he was thinking of a girl. So in this life, this girl, Brahmachari, who was girl in this life, went to meet that girl who he was attached to. And he went and he saw he had the same eyes, the same face, the same shape, the same features as that girl. So, be careful what you think of at the time of death, because that's what you will become. He met some friends he had from. She met friends that she had from the last life, and they told her, "Oh yes, this brahmachari was attached to this Indian girl." Then he went and met this girl who's now older, like maybe my age in this life, and just saw the same features. Amazing, huh? So be careful what you think of at the time of death. Now, for family people, she's a family person, Kunti, and she's saying, please cut my attachment, because I just want to be attached to you. So what is unhealthy attachment in family life? What can be unhealthy attachment? So I can give an example. It's when the mother becomes so attached to the child that she gets sick. And you probably, some of you children, because you're all young, you hear, Oh, because of you, I'm becoming sick. Yes, you're making me sick. You're becoming a devotee. You're making me sick. Something like that. Some of our devotees. Oh, you become a devotee, I will commit suicide, the mother says. So it's like they get drastic sometimes. So, but it can go for devotee mothers too, that sometimes the son goes away from Krishna consciousness. There was one example in Vrindavan where one mother was so attached to her son recently, a few years ago, and her son was doing nonsense in Vrindavan, and she was becoming sicker and sicker and sicker. And I just told her, I said, okay, one thing is that your son is not doing well. It's not that you should also go in the same path. Okay, maybe he's doing something unhealthy, but you should not become unhealthy. You have to be an example of Krishna consciousness, happiness in Krishna consciousness. And then I told her, it's better if he's a responsible citizen in the West than a hippie in Vrindavan. So then she went to the West and became a responsible citizen there. And so at least, you know, like a congregational member, better than committing offenses in Vrindavan. So these are some examples. Unhealthy, there's also unhealthy detachment. When the mother, like one time when I was with Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was here, then one of my godbrothers, Arundhati, she wrote a letter to Prabhupada, oh, now I'm doing deity worship, and my one-year-old son, somebody else is taking care of him because I have to take care of the deities. And Prabhupada wrote to her and said, no, your child is the highest service for you. You should take care of your child. That is the most important thing. Because these children are not ordinary children. They're being sent by Krishna to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So that's unhealthy detachment in family life also. It can be unhealthy when you think, oh, I just have to do my service and don't care about my family, don't care about my children. And so this can be unhealthy detachment. Also, if the husband gets married, has the child is 2 years old, okay, now I'm going to take sannyas. Family life's too much trouble. This is unhealthy detachment too. Now they have a rule, you can't take sannyas until your youngest son is 16 years old. Now before, I know one of my god sisters, she got married at 16, her husband took sannyas when she was 17. What's she supposed to do? You know? That's how it used to be. So these are not good examples to follow. These are not good examples. So we can think about this. Kunti, she wants to have healthy attachment for Krishna. And she's feeling that there's something in her relationship with her family that is coming in the way. So therefore, Prabhupada says in the purport that bhakti involves becoming free from attachments of this material world, becoming attached instead to Krishna. So we have to become attached to somebody. We have to love somebody. And the purpose of the Vedic civilization is to become attached to Krishna. So Kunti is praying for this unalloyed bhakti, that she can become attached to Krishna first. And then the next verse, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganga forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So Prabhupada said, to cut off the tie of all other affection does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. So we have to have this affection. But Vishwanath again comments, she says, I want to cut the affection which causes bondage. So that affection has to be cut. So in our family life, we should see our husband, see our wife, see our children, that these are all devotees of Krishna, and I want to serve them as devotees. These are Krishna's devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his family life, he said, these are all my wife, my children, my sons, my daughters. They are all Krishna's. So I am maintaining Krishna's family by doing my work. This is my service to Krishna, to maintain this family. Of course, he didn't just maintain his family. He wrote so many books, he preached, he did so many things, even though he had like 10, 12 children, I don't remember. A lot of children he had. 10 or 12 children. And of course, one of those children is Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati. So he was an example of a Grihastha who was actually attached to Krishna, and he showed the example of how to be attached to Krishna while in Grihastha life. So Prabhupada also said, relation of the soul, establishing relation with the Supreme Soul, or factual relation. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off family relation, she meant to cut off relation of the skin. Skin relation is cause of material bondage, but relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of soul to soul can be established by the via medium of relation with super soul. So Prabhupada said, intelligent people should ask the question, well, okay, you want family life, well, where can we have eternal family life? Where can we have a family that is eternal? And that is Krishna's family. That is Krishna's family. When we are in Krishna's family, then we understand, oh, this is my eternal family. He says, you want your, Krishna says, I've got my family, you come and join my family. I've got my children, my friends. You come and be one of them. You be my friend. You be my lover. You be my mother, father. Why are you rotting in this world? You just come and be my friend. So in, one of my god sisters, when I was in Alachua, she told a very interesting story to me, how she came to Krishna consciousness. She was searching, she was going to different groups, and then she came to one ISKCON temple. And somebody opened the door, it was a beautiful young girl. And this girl said, welcome home. This is your real home. This is your real family. Let me introduce you to your father. She showed a picture of Śrīla Prabhupāda. Here's your father. She showed a picture of Bhaktisiddhānta. Here's your grandfather. She showed the devotees. Here's your brothers. Here's your sisters. You should come and stay here. All you have to do is bring your own toothbrush and you can stay here forever. So next day, her name is Sumati. She went home. She thought about it. She said, yes, this is good. She took her toothbrush. And in the morning, she went to the temple president. She said, I brought my toothbrush. I want to stay here forever. Can I stay? And he said, okay. He said, but you have to follow these four rules. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and no meat eating. You think you can do that? I said, okay, I'll try. So she stayed. She's still there. I just met her in Alachua. It's 40 years later. 40 years later, she just brought her toothbrush and she stayed. And yeah, so I thought that was quite an interesting way of preaching to some new person. Here's your family. Here's your brothers, here's your sisters. Okay. So, when you join Krishna's family, then the whole world becomes your family. That's something I learned by traveling and preaching. I had my son left home as Suchara Majati was telling me, oh, your son will leave, your daughter will leave. Why bother to have children? And it's true. Some of you think, I asked one of my godbrothers, who's an Indian, Bengali, I said, he has two, three sons. I said, so are your sons taking care of you in your old age? He said, no, they're just coming and asking me for money. So don't count. I mean, now, of course, maybe you have a little Vedic culture left here, but you can't count on it anymore. It's Kali Yuga. And the children go away, and it's very difficult. So you go out and preach, and everybody's your family, because you're just out there alone, and they see, oh, poor old lady. One time, I had to go on the airplane. My carry-on was 19 kgs, because I only had a small limit in my, like 15 kg in my suitcase or something, and I was overweight. So in my carry-on, I had 19 kgs. And the plane, you had to walk up the stairs. There was no way I was going to be able to carry that. So I just followed one very young man who had nothing. He looked at me, he said, oh, can I help you with your bag? I said, yeah. Bring me back. Anyway, and that happened also when I, it was an amazing experience when I was in London. I had to stay overnight in London, and nobody was there to meet me at the airport because it was at Gatwick. It was a very far away airport, far from the temple. I had to take a train, a couple of trains, and I reached 10:30 at night at one station. And nobody was getting off in my car to help me, and then I got off, and there was another one flight of stairs, two flights, and I had two suitcases, not just one. And then as soon as I got out, there were these two young boys, and one was Indian and one was English. And they say, "Oh, can we help you with your bags?" I said, "You sure can." And you know, when I looked at them, they just reminded me so much of Krishna Balaram, you know. It's as if one was black, one was white. And in the middle of the night, nowhere, they just appeared, and I said, "Okay." It was for a... "Oh, do you live here?" I said, "No, I'm just visiting." So, yeah, they're very sweet young boys. So, like teenagers. But, so your whole world becomes your family when you join Krishna's family, because you have the same father. So, Prabhupada said there will be ISKCON in the spiritual world. So, these are the people you're going to be living with the rest of your life. So, we better get along nicely now. It's good if we figure out how to live together. So, Jagatthaka Maharaj, he had his Vyasa Puja a few years ago. It was the year that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left his body. After he left his body. I think he left his body in 2005, and then I was at the Vyasa Puja 2006, or something like that. I can't remember exactly which year. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wrote a Vyasa Puja for Jayapataka Maharaj before he died, and then they read it on the day, on Jayapataka Maharaj's Vyasa Puja day, and it was like from Bhakti Tirtha. And the last thing he said was, "I won't say goodbye, but I will say, see you soon." So, yes, we will all meet and we'll recognize each other in the ISKCON, in the spiritual world. We will know each other, and we'll be together again, but we'll be having a lot more fun up there. No struggles, no problems, just having fun playing together and enjoying and serving Krishna. So, the last verse, Kunti summarizes all of her prayers. Shri Krishna Krishna Saka Vishni Vishapavani Dhruvra Janya Vamsha Dhanana Bhavarka Virya Govinda Gauri Jasarati Haravatara Yogeshara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. So, first of all, Krishna Saka, friend of Arjuna. Prabhupada said, Krishna is prepared to make you a friend. And if you make Krishna your friend, then you'll never say, "Oh, my friend is lost, my friend is bad." If you make Krishna your son, you'll never say, "Oh, my son left me, he's gone away, my son went bad." So make Krishna your friend. Then he's Rishabha, the chief, Avani Druk, destroyer of political parties, disturbing elements, Anapavarga Virya. And he's giving the strength, he's giving the path of liberation. Govindaya, he is the real pleasure of the senses. Godvija Artihara, he relieves the distresses of the cows and the brahmanas. So Yogeshara, he is the greatest yogi. Prabhupada said, just like if you're a son of a rich man, you don't have to worry about earning money. So if you're Krishna's son, he is the greatest yogi. You don't have to worry about mystic powers even. Prabhupada said, when I went to the Western world, people say, "Oh, you've done so many wonderful things." So Prabhupada said, "Why should I take so much trouble to get mystic powers?" He said, "I didn't know any mystic powers. It's Krishna's desire. Krishna is pleased that for me, this person has left everything and gone to the West. How wonderful it is." So Krishna gave Prabhupada special powers to convert the Westerners into devotees. So instead of trying to become a yogi, you become the servant of Yogeshwara. And Anapa Varga Virya, this power, you get the power of Krishna. How to get the power? That is by chanting the holy name. Because when you chant Krishna's name, Krishna is here, and all the power is here behind Krishna, behind the name. Krishna is here. And as the Amadutas we were talking about the other class, Yamaraj instructed, don't go near the devotees who are chanting the holy name. I cannot do anything. Even time cannot chastise the devotees. So don't go near them. So the devotees, they're even beyond time. It's described every setting of the sun, rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. And it's taking away the life of everyone except for those who are chanting and hearing the pastimes of Krishna, the glories of Krishna. So this is the benefit, this is the power of Krishna. And your final homework is to keep on. You can do any of the days of homework, but the best one is to try to please Krishna for the next 1 year until I come back. And then I'll see, I'll ask you when I come back how you did your homework. Okay, any questions or comments on today's class? Yes.
You were talking about attachment, and I have this story that you also said that if we are serving our family, that means we are serving Krishna, mm-hmm. and we are pleasing him. And suppose if I am serving my family and taking care of my mom, my dad, my brother, everybody, and pleasing them, making them happy, that means am I not promoting this attachment?
Well, what I meant was if they're devotees. If your family, if your wife, your children, and everybody is devotee, are devotees, and then that means you're serving your family, then you're serving, you're pleasing Krishna. Of course, we don't say you just leave your family and don't serve your family.
I mean, yeah. I mean to accept, even my family are also children of Krishna.
Yes, they are Krishna's children. So the best service you can do for them is to try to help them become more Krishna conscious. And you may not be able to do it like a child to a father. You may not be able to teach them. You can give them prasadam. You can give them garlands from the temple or whatever like that. But of course, the best thing is if you yourself become a pure devotee and then you deliver three generations back, even just a new devotee, three generations back, three generations after. If you become a devotee, that's the best service you can do. So what I was to see, Kunti, she is in a devotee family. So her problem, even she's in a devotee family, she's feeling some problem due to attachments. So therefore I was talking about if you're in a devotee family, then serving your family is pleasing to Krishna. That's your service, especially the women, they're taking care of the husband, the children, mother, father. And there is, and also even and the husband, making the living, he's providing for Krishna's family. Of course, your mother and father are also part of Krishna's family in the broader sense. So, but if they're not Krishna conscious, then somehow or other, the most pleasing thing to Krishna would be to try to help them become Krishna conscious, or you yourself become Krishna conscious if it's not possible to make your parents Krishna conscious. Yeah. Any other? Would you like to comment, Bhakti Prabhu, on that? Okay. Yes?
I have the same questions regarding this attachment. So you cited an example of a lady, a mother was remembering her child.
Yeah.
So, and then also the examples were like, materially, whatever we are attached to, some relationship with the son or daughter, any other boy, many things. So you say that it brings some sort of happiness, something like that. So the conclusion was something like that, if I'm not mistaken. So, but apart from there, so if we just can see, it's a little ironical, I think, compared mm-hmm. to Krishna, because when we please, then we just say that if you're attached to your family, then you get frustration.
Yes.
But if you're attached to Krishna, then you get happiness.
Yeah.
So that's the difference of attachment between the happiness. Right. And the, so I just cannot understand that.
Yeah, so you couldn't understand that how, well, some people feel happiness in their attachment to their family. They feel like some security, some happiness that, yes, we are saying your family will just give you frustration, which is the truth, especially in Kali Yuga. But in devotee families, we try to keep the families together. We don't want the, like for devotee grihasthas, then we say, no, it's better you stay together, even there may be some problems, but you stay together and do it as a service for Krishna. Because we also need grihasthas. Now, for the brahmacharis, you can say, okay, family attachment is bad. There is only frustration. And that's a fact. That's a fact. It's very difficult, grihastha life, to be 100%. Well, it's a 99.9%. There are problems in grihastha life. So, but devotee grihasthas, it's another thing. It's another thing. So it's a whole other subject, and that's what Kunti is talking about here. And she's also feeling, even though she's a 100% pure devotee, she's feeling frustration of material attachment in family life. She's feeling some problem there in her attachment, and she would like it to become purified. So it's just for Krishna. It's just like sometimes, well, one devotee father was telling me, oh, my son, he's doing this, that. I said, actually, one thing we need to understand is that it's not our son, it's Krishna's son. It's not our child, it's Krishna's child. And the proof is, you can't control the child. As one person in Mayapur, one lady, mother, 8-year-old daughter, she said, when my daughter is 18, she will do this and she will do that. And I said, don't be so sure she will do this and she will do that. She may do what she wants to do when she's 18, you know. You know, the parents have all these ideas what their children are going to do. I also had it, but my son didn't follow my plans, he followed his plans. So we have to realize our children, they belong to Krishna. They are Krishna's children. And therefore, we offer the children. So what I suggested, and what it really is a nice thing to do, you offer your child to a particular deity. Whichever deity you feel is good for that child. So one of the mothers came up to me in the Alachua after, they listen on the internet, nobody was in the class, you know, 10 people. On the internet, maybe 50, 100 people on the internet. So they come up and tell me, the next day, oh, I heard your class on the internet about, you know, she was crying. She said, oh, yeah, I didn't know what to do with my son. And so I thought, yeah, I'm going to offer him to a deity. So she went and told her son, I'm going to offer you to a deity. And he said, which one? Your grown-up son, you know. And she said, Nrisingadev or Balaram? He said, Nrisingadev. So, yeah, this is for the grown-up children who are not so Krishna conscious. So these problems are happening now with some of our children, not all of our children, but some of our children. Because they, as we rebelled from our parents, and we were Christian or whatever, and we became Krishna conscious. So they are also, they are trying to find Krishna for themselves, but they have an advantage because they're born in Krishna consciousness, and so they have the taste, and they cannot forget that taste. They try to go in the material world, and they try to enjoy. They cannot forget that taste that they got when they were children. And that's also stated in Bhagavatam. The devotee may appear like the karmi. He may go out in the world, he may seem like just like a materialistic person, but he doesn't have the same laws of karma on him as the karmi does. It's different. So these are the problems. You're a brahmachari, so you don't have to worry about it. You're very lucky. You're safe. You just have Krishna and Krishna's family, and the material life is frustrating, and go on preaching like that. Very good. You don't have to worry. And those who have the grihastha life, then they will have to live with the material energy and use it in Krishna's service. They have a bigger field of activities. Your field is more simple. And so that's very nice, simple life. And the grihasthas will have a more expanded field of activities, and they will have to work outside in the world and be have to be able to keep their Krishna consciousness, protect their Krishna consciousness, even though they are out in the material world, and they'll have to, even in their family life, be able to use it in such a way for the pleasure of Krishna and for the help of their wife and children, mother, father. They will have to help in that way. And so it's a different aspect of Krishna consciousness, and that yes, that only that. Hopefully, you will not have to experience in this life. You've dedicated your life for Krishna, so it's a different, it's a more simple life. It's good. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, is there any possibility that to nullify this material attachment being?
Is it possible to nullify your material attachment being in this body? You cannot nullify it. You have to be attached. The only way to transcend it is to both of you use it completely in Krishna's service. That both of you are for Krishna. Everything is for Krishna. And then the attachment becomes purified. Then both of you are serving the servant. She is serving the servant of Krishna, and you are serving Lakshmi. Actually, when we were new devotees in 1970 in Boston, it was very interesting because they would call all the ladies gopis. The gopis should sit here, and the Prabhu should sit here. It was very funny. But, you know, I just took it. I was new devotee. I said, oh, okay, we're gopis. Yes, but it was just Krishna's gopis, you know. We didn't belong to anybody else except Krishna. So that was really nice that we were all Krishna's gopis. Nobody else could have us. So it was quite interesting. But yes, Prabhupada said you should see your wife as Lakshmi. You serve as a maidservant of Krishna, maidservant of Krishna, and she should see you also as a servant of Krishna, pure devotee, servant of Krishna. So, and that's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw his family. His wife was made servant, children are also all servants of Krishna. So then, with that vision, you can transcend, then your attachment is in a different way, becomes in a different way. Okay, if this is Lakshmi, how should I behave? If this is the pure servant of Krishna, how should I behave now with this servant of Krishna? It's a different type of relationship. Here is a servant of Krishna on both sides. Any other questions? Yes?
When you join Krishna consciousness, when we join Krishna consciousness, we try to a little bit divert from the cultural activities like being in house, more chanting, trying to serve in temple, following rules and regulations. But immediately, like our parents and relatives will come to notice, like when we do good, even saying that when you do good, like they doesn't want, they doesn't desire, but like they are starting to blame. And when we keep on following it, how should we act in that situation? That like, do we need to obey them? Like after we start to follow the instructions, and what will be our karma? Like, is it?
Okay. So your question is, if you're living in your house with your parents, and they don't like you to be Krishna conscious, is that the question?
Yeah, in the beginning, like they don't desire,
yeah, they don't appreciate your Krishna consciousness. Yeah, we had some cases like that. They were telling me. So this happened in Lord Chaitanya's time with Raghunath Das. The parents, they were trying to. They even wanted to chain him in the house because they were afraid he's going to run to Lord Chaitanya. They gave him the most beautiful wife, all the riches, everything, but. So Lord Chaitanya instructed him that don't be crazy. don't be crazy. Look, Raghunath just wanted to come immediately. He said, no, don't be crazy. You go back, you act very normal. But at the same time, you do your Krishna consciousness. So somehow or other, you have to do your chanting. But it may have to be in the bathroom or something. I don't know, away from you. So your parents don't see. if it's so much trouble like that. I know our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, when he was traveling and preaching, he was on many trains in the Eastern European countries when it was still communist. And he had to chant his rounds in the trains, in the bathrooms of the trains, to escape the police. So sometimes you may have to hide what you're doing from your parents, but don't stop your Krishna consciousness. It's just like the Prahlad Maharaj, and the parents are complaining, and the other parents are complaining, oh, this child is ruining everybody, he's becoming a devotee. Everything is ruined. No, the best thing you can do is become a devotee. But it's not good to, if your parents are very much against them, it's not good to challenge them. But to try to peacefully do your Krishna consciousness as much as you can. At the same time, try to help them by giving them prasadam. If you can make any prasadam at home and offer it and give it to them, then that will help a lot. Because prasadam changes people.
My next question is that, like, when we serve Krishna, and my parents, they have certain dreams, like you were telling before.
Yeah.
They have different kinds of things, different kinds of thoughts, that, oh, my son should be like this, my daughter should be like this.
Yeah.
But when we start to follow the instructions and go ahead in spiritual life, will we not able to follow their dreams? Like, I want to ask, like, does it, like, directly or indirectly, like, when you serve Krishna, like, their desire also?
Yeah, when you serve Krishna,
it helps them also.
It will help them if you become a devotee. They may not appreciate it now. Time of death, they will appreciate. They say, when the Yamadutas come and they say, no, no, your child is a devotee, we won't take you. When the Yamadutas come for them, you know, they're eating meat, whatever they're doing, nonsense. So you should come with us. But then some Vishuddhas say, no, no, their child is devotee, but you can't take them. Then they'll be very happy. And even before that, now, I think your father has changed, yes?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yes, so it happens that they do change also. The parents do change after some time. There is hope. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
First class, you told all the obstacles of remembering Krishna.
Obstacles of remembering Krishna.
And that was laziness.
Laziness, yeah, one of the obstacles.
How can we reduce or remove it?
How can we reduce laziness? Okay, laziness is a symptom of emotive ignorance. So if you can read Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, 14th chapter, and 17th chapter, it describes the different modes, goodness, passion, ignorance. So to get out of ignorance, you have to cultivate goodness. So there are foods in goodness, and that means vegetarian foods. So first thing is you should eat only prasadam, if possible. And if it's not only prasadam, at least vegetarian. So that you eat in the mode of goodness, and you try to associate with people who are in goodness. And you also, to be in goodness means to get up early, have bath, chant your rounds. That is transcendental. So these things will help you get out of the mode of ignorance, to cultivate the mode of goodness. And you can find out, if you read Bhagavad Gita, what are those different things you can do. Your mantra should be spiritual, transcendental, pure goodness. Your food should be in goodness. Your association should be in goodness. Your place where you stay, I mean, maybe not your house. Well, you can make your house in goodness too. Cleanliness, make it a temple in your house, put pictures of Krishna. So you can transform the place you live, your food, your water even should be offered. Shivishu, Shivishu, Shivishu. And spend as much time as you can in the temple, because that's a transcendental place. And these things will help to change your consciousness. Also chanting Hare Krishna, of course. But there are many different things you can do in your life that will help you to get out of ignorance. These are Prabhupada gave us these. We get up early, go to Mangalarti 4:30 in the morning, and then chant in those early hours, in the hours of goodness. The early hours are goodness hours. Daytime is votive passion hours. Nighttime is ignorance. So if you sleep early and get up early, then that is also helpful. And don't eat too much before you go to sleep, because then you will want to sleep more. Yeah. But I know you're young, so you should eat at night. Don't stop eating, otherwise you'll get too weak. But it's just not too much. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes?
When you try to become devotee, and like, this was written in the paper also, like, Krishna steals everything. He steals our all property. He steals our everything.
If you get his mercy, not everybody gets.
So when you start to chant and all those things, but certain things happen, like, and so many problems and difficulties appear, and like from nowhere, like one after another, so many obstacles come. So, but how can we become stable and still continue? And how can we say that's the reaction of our karma? But how should we feel? And how should we have our intention and motives at that situation? Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's three kinds of devotees. There's the Kanishta, the beginning devotee. The Kanishta, he just sees the most important thing is his service and the deity and his guru, and he doesn't see like other devotees so much. But the middle, the Madhyama devotee, he's a preacher. So his most important thing is he makes friendship with other devotees. And that's the most important. 60% of his time is spent with friendship with other devotees. And then maybe 20% for those who are lower than him, and 20% with more advanced devotees. But his main time is with the people who are his equals. That is the difference between a Madhyama preacher and a Kanishta. That the Madhyama, he relishes association with devotees. He relishes it so much. And he always wants to hear more new things about Krishna consciousness with his friends. He wants to have friendship with devotees. And the Uttama, he doesn't see anybody higher than him, lower than himself. So how he doesn't preach, he just sits and chants and thinks, oh, what can I do? He's the highest. I mean, but all the highest devotees, they come down to preach. So you can't tell. It looks like everybody's the middle. You can't really tell who's the highest one. You can't tell. Because here we see Prabhupada also, he was the highest, but he was behaving on the middle class devotee level. Most of the time. Sometimes he would lose control and we would see how he was the highest. But by his activities we could see that he was on the highest level. How many devotees he could make and how much preaching he did. Yeah, so we should try to make friendship with devotees and we also preach to the innocent. But the preacher's life is very much in association with others, and that gives him strength to preach. Okay, I think it's getting late. We should stop now. Thank you all for coming. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.